We are recording.
Okay, I will call to order the February 1st, 2021 City of Kirkland Design Review Board meeting. We will begin with a roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Brad Brown. Carlos Castaneda.
Here.
Ting Chen.
Here.
Shoshana Cohen.
Here.
Adam Crane.
Here.
And Tim Olson.
Here.
Thanks.
Okay, now we move to the announcement of the agenda. Today is the Design Response Conference, and we have a single item, that's the Slater Mixed Use Project, the DRV20-00621. Do we have minutes to approve? I don't think we have. And then, are there any requests from the audience we should look for? No requests. Okay, with that, and as I don't see any other unfinished business, we will move forward to the item on the agenda, the Design Response Conference for the Slater Avenue Mixed Use. Now we'll turn to Tony for the presentation.
All right, thank you. Let me share my screen here real quick. So yeah, this is for the Slater Mixed Use Project. This is the second meeting, a continuation. I apologize, the date I have up here is from the last meeting, January 4th, 2021. So this is a continuation of that meeting. Tonight, we are here to review the response from the applicants to your request from the January 4th meeting. The goals for tonight are to review those requests or those responses, to review the setback minor variation request, also to review the project for consistency with the design guidelines for the Totem Lake neighborhood, and finally to consider public comment. Again, the DRV authority is to review the project for consistency with the design guidelines for the Totem Lake neighborhood. If applicable, zoning regulations that require DRV approval, including minor variations as allowed by the zoning code. A reminder, the staff is in charge of reviewing the building permits when they come in. With those, we'll look at permitted uses, height, lot coverage, setbacks, rooftop appearances and amenities, parking, site access, and affordable housing. The second part of that is the city's SEPA review. We had hoped that would be completed before tonight's meeting, but that has not, due to some potential off-site mitigation issues. I did talk to our traffic engineer, and he does not anticipate any site plan changes that will occur with that review. So what will happen is if the board were to approve the project tonight, we will hold off issuance of that the decision by the board until the SEPA is completed. Again, from the January 4th meeting, so the board was very favorable of the projects. However, they did ask the applicant to address some issues. So I'm going to give a brief summary of those issues that you asked them to address, and then we'll let the applicants respond more in-depthly with their responses. So first, you wanted to see increased articulation along the northeast 120th Street and rear facades of the building. Specifically with the rear facade, you were concerned about viewpoints from 124th Street to the north and how the building would look until the properties between 124th and 9 get redeveloped. So the applicant has responded with that. You also want to, you were a bit worried about the repetitive nature of the building parapets and wanted the applicant to look at maybe adding some variety there. You wanted them to look at softening of the building corners as far as, you know, creating different textures, different material changes, those kind of things in those areas, kind of to help to soften them a bit. You asked them to provide some additional human scale renderings for the public area, specifically the driveways that are also kind of serve as sidewalks along those driveways into the parking garages. You want to look at them to look at pedestrian design elements, including canopies, pedestrian amenities, design of the sidewalks along the street frontage, and design of the public spaces. Wanted to look at vehicle access elements, including loading areas and trash collection, incorporation of the plans that they presented the last meeting into the complete package. Wanted to look at final design for the spaces in the back of the building, how that was going to work. Would there be access to for the public back there, how that all works. Wanted them to look at incorporating some family-friendly features into the courtyards that will be used by residents of the buildings. Wanted them to look at considering alternatives to the white vinyl windows that they were showing with the last packet. You want them to provide some building material details, including a material board. As we noted, there was a material board available for the board to review last week. We also sent out a video of that material board and pictures of the material board. Want them to provide a lighting detail plan, including fixtures and location of lighting throughout the site. And finally, wanted clarification on the minor modification request. Speaking of the minor variation request, so the applicant has changed that a bit. So the original proposal included a request to allow upper story balconies into the Northeast 120th Street setback and the Slater Avenue Northeast upper story setback. The applicant has revised the request and is now only requesting a minor modification to allow the upper story balconies to extend up to 3.5 feet, 8 feet into the Slater Avenue Northeast upper setback. So this is a visual of that showing those setbacks. So just a reminder, so there's a normal setback of 10 feet here, and then they have an additional, once they get above 30 feet, there's a 40 foot setback for those upper stories. And so that's what these balconies would be projecting into. Again, the minor variation criteria is that the request results in superior design and fulfills the policy basis for applicable design regulations and guidelines. And second, the departure will not have a substantial detrimental effect on nearby properties and the city or the neighborhood as a whole. Staff has looked at these and we feel that the proposed setback variations would result in the facade that is superior in design by allowing minor horizontal modulations encouraged by the guidelines and by adding some visual interest to that facade. The upper story balconies add to the human scale of the Slater Avenue facade and help to activate those areas. Additionally, the reduction will not have a substantial detrimental effect on nearby properties, the city, or the neighborhood. The balcony is located within setback, are very minor in nature relative to the entire building, complement the building, and are supported by the design guidelines and also adjacent to a very wide right of way. So staff is in favor of the variations. So again, tonight we want you to provide feedback on the requested revisions, consider the public comments, and if you do decide to approve the project, again, we can do that tonight, or we can continue to a future meeting to address any issues that you feel the applicant hasn't adequately addressed from the last meeting. I did send out a discussion topics sheet to kind of help as we move along here. So hopefully that does it, and I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you, Tony. Thank you. Board members, any questions? So I see no questions, so we will move forward to the applicant.
Good evening, members of the DRB, members of staff. My name is Sean Finch, and I'm with Fairfield Residential. The design team from our last meeting is here again tonight to share our updated vision of the Slater Avenue mixed-use development. At our last meeting, you provided us with some valuable feedback and direction And we believe that that feedback you provided has really pushed us to advance the overall project design. We'll be sharing that updated design with you tonight. And while we're still working with staff to finalize the project SEPA document, we respectfully request the DRB's support and approval this evening. I'll now turn it over to I'll turn over the presentation to the Carrier Johnson team.
Thank you, John, Sean, and Tony for that. So, you know, again, I think we're very excited to be back. Last meeting, there was a great conversation and feedback regarding many of the elements in the design of the project that we feel we've addressed with this response. So essentially what we're gonna do is go, you know, step by step and address each one of the points that we documented as we went through the last presentation. Ultimately, we felt that those comments really added to the overall design of the project, in particularly the overall experience at that ground plane, which we really wanted to liven up. And so with that, as Sean mentioned, really we're looking for approval of the project. And hopefully with all the comments and responses that we'll show to you today and the conversation that we'll have will ultimately get us to that point. So let's jump in. So I think the first point that Tony addressed was the essentially the encroachment of balconies along 120th and Slater. And what we ultimately decided was to really eliminate any encroachments for balconies along the southern portion of the project, in particularly building A at that southwest corner. And really everything that we had above that setback line that encroached in that area, we decided to push it back so as not to create any issues in that. The ones that we did keep, which are shown in red there, is essentially along the Slater Avenue. And as Tony described, essentially these are encroaching within the step back condition within our project. So, you know, still felt that it had added to the scale and character of the project architecturally at that juncture. The next one is about our weather protection that we have. And essentially we provided this exhibit to essentially locate where all these different canopies would be accommodated for. As you can see, they're broken up within the overall elevation along 120th. And the reason that that's doing that is because the overall architectural expression with these frame outs that articulate that base really adds to the overall brokenness of the elevation. And so these canopies sort of slide in and out within each of these different frames that happens along 120th. We've also included one of these images, and the intent is to create very simple steel profile that would create or house the overall canopy. And then within that, the idea is to do some sort of inlay material. We're shown here some sort of simulated wood finish that would add to the character and sort of bring a little bit more warmth into the overall expression of those canopies. Next. So for these, we're going to go through a series of three slides that will describe in depth the overall character of the materials that we have. We explained early on in last meeting that the overall palette is to have a degree of scales of texture with the materials themselves. And we've sort of oriented them and placed them strategically. So if they're closer to the street, you know, the scale of the texture is a little bit finer. As you go up, maybe the scale gets a little bit bigger. And so you're able to read it as it marches along the elevations. The two main samples that we have here, the warmer sample, which is the textured cladding, is a fine grain cladding that we're articulating at the ground plane. And then we're using a different one with a texture that is a little bit bigger for the charcoal color that sort of encapsulates the upper level condition where we have a dark band between the base and the residential above. We also have included that where we have amenity spaces to add a little bit further character to the texture. Within these palettes, we've also included a metal panel for the frame outs of the base that would house either the storefront for the ground floor activation, and then also have the ceramic cladding element, ceramic coated cladding element, sorry, at that base and articulate that. One point to address though here for the base, we heard that we wanted to have a little bit more variation on that, particularly along Slater. And so what we've opted for is still keep within the same, I'm going to call it a family of tones or colors, but have enough variation between each of these elements, be it the frames along 120th or the abstracted boxcar, train boxcar along Slater, and then have that nice variation of tonalities as it sort of dances across the elevation, but again still keeping within the same expression and altogether. For the upper level residential components, the combination of the standing seam metal at the corner, the lighter tone corners on both renderings, we're articulating those with the standing seam metal in vertical fashion, and then having also the fiber cement panel for the other tones, which we've actually included here a little bit of swatches towards the I wish I could draw on this, but I can't. Essentially what we're playing off of is this idea of neutral tones and cool tones. The cool tones would be for building a neutral tone palette for buildings B, and then a warm tone palette for building C to further add diversity to the overall project as a whole. So I think this would cover this slide. For this other slide, we really wanted to showcase the overall textural quality of the standing seam, which hopefully with, I don't know if everybody got to see the actual physical board. If so, great. If not, hopefully the videos that we also sent added to just further understanding the overall qualities of the materials that we're trying to achieve here. And so this one, this was meant to really represent that standing seam metal. We do have variations in tones on that metal as well. Then for the lower elements, we have the screening for the parking. It's all right, Connor. which we are showcasing on that upper right image. And the intent is that we would introduce a little bit of a warmer tone or finish to that screen to further differentiate and add a little bit of warmth to that base on the parking. It also evokes what's happening along the southern portion of building A, so it sort of ties them both together. And then finally, the last image was more about getting a little bit of a closer close-up shot so we could read a little bit more what's happening with the textures. So this rendering to the left pretty much captures most of the material conditions that we have. So I'm just gonna go through these real quick. Again, at the base, we have the encapsulated framing element with the metal panel that would have its degree of brokenness with the reveals conditions that we're showing there with the mouse cursor. And then within this, we would have an inlay of either the ceramic coated panel and or storefront, as well as the, which is the, yeah, that right there. And you can see the, it's really fine texture that adds really a degree of differentiation. It's going to be really nice as it meets the metal. So there's going to be a nice textural quality that contrast between the metal and that ceramic coated cladding element. And then as we move up at the podium or courtyard levels where we have the amenity spaces, the idea is introduced the other one, which is a ceramic coated cladding B, we're calling it, which has a larger scale format to the overall texture. And then finally, the two elements that we see, the light tone and the dark tones, the light one being the standing seam metal that I already explained. And then the other tones would be the hardy panel, the cementitious panel, which also has a degree of reveals and conditions there to further adds to the overall scale of those elements. So I think that pretty much covers everything when it comes to the actual materials themselves. The next slide, I'm just gonna go through all these. So right now, what we're gonna take a look at is a series of elevations and really address as a whole what we've either modified and revised based on the comments. And I'll just go from left to right so that we can explain quickly what these mean. The first one was the balcony configurations. As I mentioned, we've modified those along 120th. So the reconfiguration now does not encroach on the setback area. We had a vertical wall element towards the west or southwest portions at that south elevation. And, you know, we had some fire lane issues that we had to deal with that was actually encroaching on that area. So we've since removed that element altogether to create a cleaner look for that frame as it turns on that southwest corner. The larger material change along this elevation was the base articulation, particularly at that eastern courtyard for building A. What we've done is further break up the overall base of the project. You can sort of compare the elevation above with the elevation below. We had a larger expanse of frame for that particular area, but because we have a loading and unloading zone, felt that actually breaking these down even further adds to the overall diversity and scale of 120th. And then finally, the material variety that I already explained, it's clear, evident in the image below, the elevation below, where, using nice contrast elements between the different components of that base further adds that diversity. So wanted to play that out. If you keep going here, now we're looking at the west elevation. Particularly, I think the biggest material changes happened at the base of the project, where we have the parking, addressing the metal screening element that screens off the parking. Again, further adding material variety to the overall residential components up top. The parapet change, we do have a roof deck condition there for building B at that juncture, correct? And the idea was to actually reduce the parapet height for that area and create more of a glass railing condition there, so that the vistas and the visibility from that roof deck out could be further enhanced and maximized. And that also added to the sort of the variation of heights relative to the building profile along the project. And then I think we already mentioned the vertical wall along that southwest corner, so we can go to the next slide. This is the north elevation. I think these only two happen. I think the bigger material change was the overall expression of building a north elevation. We did have more of a repetitive expression previously on the last iteration, but then since have explored ways to further break this up to have a little bit more variety. We've introduced more contrasting elements and more variety to the roof line to further add to that overall expression of that elevation, and hopefully that really adds more diversity to that. And then finally, Slater Avenue towards the east. I think that the two main components here was the base articulation for Slater Ave. As I mentioned, further adding color definition to the different elements to really separate these as they march across Slater. And then the material variety that we added for building C to further add contrast and diversity to the expression. So the next slide talks about what I previously discussed, this idea of breaking down the overall scale along 120th and Connor's sort of highlighting that area. So what happened was that we actually had to accommodate for a drop-off and deliveries area in that point. And as we started to study what this meant, it really made sense to first of all, inset the overall elevation, just because of the fact of this creating, it's creating an inset condition with that drop-off. And so we had to accommodate for that inset and the elevation. But when we did that, we also said, well, why don't we actually explore breaking the overall elevation a little bit more. So that added to the, you know, more variety, more depth in that elevation and just overall diversity. So this was related to the overall facade design along, particularly that north. And I sort of just went through that previous image for the elevations, but really the idea here was to add further diversity to that overall roofline with the inclusion of either zero parapet and glass railing for roof decks to maximize views, and or having more diversity or, you know, differentiation between the actual planes of the buildings. There's a plan view here on the top right, and what we've done originally, the elevation along Building A was a straight shot all the way across. And so what we've allocated now is a series of insets that correlate to units within the project that creates more depth between the overall planes. And so it's not just about creating material changes now, it's actually about creating depth in the actual profile of the building that in turn further strengthens the overall parapet conditions up top. And, you know, hopefully that really gets us to where we want to be as far as the overall expression of that elevation. Oh, I'm sorry. I think you were alluding to something there, Connor. Yeah. So thanks. And so this image in particular is important because this would be our view essentially from 124th from the northeast. And so, you know, I guess the rendering to the left of that, which is, you know, somebody flying up in a drone there, that's not how we're going to see the elevation, right? It's more about that street level perspective on that. So we felt that it was important to depict that so that we captured how the building would look. Thanks, Connor. further adding to the overall articulation along of 120th, of note, the idea of creating more of, I'm going to call it more of a playful tone to the overall expression of the screening elements for parking. And so, you know, the upper image where we presented to you last meeting, you know, we just had a swath of screen that covered, you know, the parking. But since then, we've revisited that and said, well, why don't we add a little bit more movement and textural quality to that? Again, adding color to it to further differentiate the top for the and the base. It also ties it over to 120th, so there's a relationship there between the two. And then also just adding, you know, we did add the vines that grew vertically along that. So we just wanted to depict what that meant and its relationship to that screening element. So those drawings up there represent that, the overall intent of that design. So this was in relationship to the facade design along Slater Ave. The comment was that the general building appeared flat. And so what we tried to demonstrate here, first of all, is that the overall brokenness of the mass with courtyards and how the building's articulation, you know, goes in and out as it travels north to south along Slater adds to the diversity of the building, at least at the sky profile or roof profile of the building. And then as far as the base was concerned, frankly, we felt that by adding just slight definition and contrast between materials, the balance between the boxcar expression that, you know, we thought would want to be represented in this linear fashion with the contrast of the serrated roof profiles of the elements above, created a nice sort of dialogue between the two elements. And so, you know, and again, with the material expression, further differentiation of those elements at the base. Vinyl windows. So this diagram, I think, is pretty self-explanatory. What we've opted to do was where we have a visual impact or frontage along 120th or Slater, allocated black vinyl window. So that happens essentially at the base where we have these linear elements on Slater, that right there exactly. And as it turns a corner towards the south on 120th, we also express a black vinyl window at the corner conditions of each of the elements for the E shapes for building A and B, and then essentially a C condition for building C, which is fitting. And then where we have the red, these are elements or facades within the project that are further away from the street, so they're not as visible. Particularly made sense for that north and west elevations for buildings A, B, and C, and then the inside condition for the courtyards. So we felt that by being strategic and, you know, being mindful of the visibility impact of these different areas, felt that that made sense from a for an overall palette of window articulation. Okay, two comments here. One was the trash loading area. And so what we've done is we've introduced similarly to what we're doing along the north elevation for parking, you know, the idea is to create a nice screening element that would essentially house the trash loading collection area and pretty much kind of screen it off. And that this just would become a metal screen element that would clad that. And then the comment below, as I explained earlier, was meant to address that loading area. And so that highlighted red area is where street loading would happen. And again, that in turn modified the overall expression of the architecture and broke up the frames. The next slide was more about capturing the human scale. And I think this is a great segue to go into the landscape design portion of the project, but I'll just briefly note that, you know, really, this project has a lot of diversity at the ground plane, be it large scale elements such as the metal panels for the base or canopy conditions that brings down the scale of the project to the street. And then by further adding the richness of the landscape design portion and elements there, it really adds to the overall quality of the street level experience. So I think this is my last slide, Jim, right? So good segue to your portion.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, board members. I, you know, kind of expanding upon what Alex is mentioning about the street frontage. You know, the standard, of course, here along both Slater and 120th are 8-foot sidewalks. We have a pedestrian pole light and street trees. But we really wanted to kind of embrace this frontage because we actually have a pretty good setback here, 15, 25, 28 feet setback. So we wanted to take this whole experience and make it a pedestrian one. So you take it's not just a viewed as a sidewalk, but as the entire frontage being the pedestrian walkway. With expanded paving areas, meandering planters, and so forth. So that's really what we've taken this to the next level here, and also wanted to, of course, the street trees give you the protection, so you have you feel like you have some separation between the busy or the cars going by, but then you also have you're not necessarily pushed up against the sidewalk. You have some ability to walk 10, 20 feet away from the curb. we've added a lot more detail. So the two things we've done since our last meeting was to add a number of sheets showing landscaping and lighting and so forth and more amenities. And also respond to, the second is to respond to the comments, the feedback that we received last time. So we have in the actual package you have received, there's a lot more information on detailed plant legends and specific trees and shrubs and ground cover throughout and enlargements and so forth. You go to the next one. So we've taken an enlargement along 120th, and along 120th Street, we're embracing the Totem Lake open space. And the idea was that this was kind of an extension of the river wash with informality of the tree palette using some natives. We have the strawberry tree and the we have the maples coming along the street tree as a street tree there. Also, we have a kind of a flowering kind of rain garden type planter for stormwater capture, as well as just kind of to as a nice feature there, creating this idea of a stream with these bridges across metaphorically. It's not a literal river, but it's the metaphor of a wash along this front. That image that Connor just pointed to, that's probably the best representation, showing like a meandering planter coming through here. But we also have the paving really extends just beyond the normal sidewalk, which is what's in white. And you see in the tan color, the enriched pavers and using more pedestrian scale materials. There's seating throughout. We have benches, we have these seat block, these stone blocks that would be for seats for sitting all along this front edge. We have terrace steps to transitional steps going up to some of the walkways as well as the corner. If we come to the next slide, this shows a continuation there as well as the corner in the plaza. In the plaza, while it's open and flexible, we do have access for fire and utilities through there, but then we also wanted to really kind of animate the space. So we incorporated benches with concrete and wood materials. We're looking at pottery and really help enrich the space with the level of detail, bringing the paving patterns, pavers coming through there with the a pattern of the wash continuing into the plaza. And then even introducing potential for movable vending carts, having services for those so that this can become a destination area, a place where it's a usable public space. And the corner area, it's also just all the way from the curb to the wall, to the building wall, it's all just walkable and open. We have seating, we have the terraced transitional steps to transition into this sunken area there. And we are also looking at a rain garden feature in the corner using Corten steel and concrete and other materials that can have a nice texture to it, a nice feel for that. So that would help focus that corner. And then coming up to along Slater, this is more your residential frontage. We have stoops up and down on each unit so that you really have the eyes on the street. You have this ability to make it more of a part of this frontage, part of the units. The paving, like on 120th, the paving doesn't just stop at the 8 foot, it comes into the site. We do have a more regular form here because we're picking up, just like the architecture, on this idea that the train car used to come down this way. So we have the paving pattern has a regular banding pattern to it. We have these concrete seat walls and Corten steel planters and trying to use some nicer, richer materials in there. This also, if you zoom in here, Connor, this shows in the civil engineers plan. Really, we do have some pretty good setbacks here, 18, 25 foot, 22, 20 foot. So we're basically taking that whole frontage and making that the whole public realm. It's kind of the pedestrian experience from curb to building. So it's not just cut off at the back of sidewalk. Going upstairs, these plazas here, these courtyards are connect directly to the street down below. There's stairwells going from the street level up to the courtyards. We have private patios for all the units, but in addition to that, we really try to incorporate as many amenities as possible. So all the courtyards have elements like barbecues and fire pits and so forth. And if you look at this, for instance, you have the clubhouse, and around the clubhouse, you have outdoor elements such as the game boards and cornhole toss, things like that. And so there's more activities for the residents to kind of play around. And with the drop-off, setting the clubhouse back, it actually allows for this larger space in front of the clubhouse for seating and another fire pit and so forth. So there's a lot of different nooks and areas that where people can gather. And the idea is this clubhouse and the courtyards are really all one space. So one flows into the other. So you're not just going in here to recreate at the clubhouse. It's the whole area kind of, it's indoor outdoor extension of one another. Upstairs on the rooftop, the second building, building B, we have, from what we showed last time, we've actually expanded these dog park areas a little larger, trying to maximize what we can do there based on occupancy, and really make a feature out of them with a lot of fun elements, for a place for the dogs to run around grass, but have some other kind of fun elements to have them play around. And then so we have a large dog and a small dog area. We have tables and seating within the area so that people can stay some, come in there and stay there. And then in the activity area, we've expanded that, added more seating, having overhead lighting to try and create a ceiling and effect to the space. We have game table up there for ping pong, fire pits. And then with the package, we've shown all the lighting for the street level as well as the all the courtyards, so that we've incorporated that into the plan. So you can kind of get a feel for what we're looking for. It shows up more in the actual detailed plans. However, we have the pedestrian pole light. We have probably go to the next one showing. Oh, here we go. Yeah, showing the different type of fixtures we have. So we have the street pole, which we're basically matching the city standard, reaching out to the city. This is the city standard. This is what's used across the street along Slater as well, along 120th. And then we have a nice pedestrian pole in the courtyards, as well as using sconce lights, security lighting, wall lighting, lights at the barbecue, string lights, and so forth. So having shows the family of lighting that we're proposing. As we kind of get into the design more and work out the more detailed photometrics, there'll be refinements, but that'll be, as far as the character goes, this is what we're proposing. With that, I think that's the last slide.
Yep, that was the last slide. And I think we'll turn it back to Tony and the board.
Okay, so any questions for the applicant? Anyone would like to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I had two questions. I was going to see if one of these imaged more clearly depicted, maybe up close, where we've got the white windows towards the back and the black windows towards the front. I think I saw it in some of those images. Could you maybe scroll back so we can get a better view of those with the variation of the different color window frames? Great diagram showing where they're located, but I just wanted to see kind of the point there's at in the rendering. Yeah, that might work pretty well on the proposed one. Yes. Do you mind scrolling down? That's the preview. I guess it might show it in both of them.
So yeah, it seems sorry like about most that, Ariel.
I know. Most of the black windows were towards the front of the street, I guess on the east and south sides of the building. I guess the rear side of the building and all the setback areas are all going to be the white, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then I guess I just wanted to confirm on the back side, which is okay, thank you for pulling that up. There's actually a reduction in your leasable square footage of these units to create that variation. You guys really pulled the building in rather than just doing a material change.
Exactly.
I realize that always hurts, but
I think it was a combination of the two. It just merited that, to be honest. And it just adds to the overall look and feel of that elevation in particular.
Yeah, I think it's going to make much stronger shadow lines and break it up, really get the effect I think we were after.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Ting, do you have questions?
Yes. Do you still have the SketchUp model that you can show us? I kind of want to take a closer look at the glass railing on the rooftop on building B.
Maybe we can show it in one of the perspectives here and see if. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this one's the one that showcases that. Essentially what we did there, a thing was to bring down the parapet height. We have an amenity level below the roof deck, and by bringing down that parapet line, I think two things in particular. One, it addresses the overall variation of the building profile to the sky, and so now instead of having the parapet create the profile of the building where we have that framing element for the amenity space, that becomes your top of building, so to speak. And then past that, where we see that like lighter tone horizontal element, that's representing glass that would essentially be the perimeter glass railing for that roof deck. And so I think this is a great call from our clients in particular to really maximize the views out towards the overall vistas and all that, and it just achieved multiple things in by doing so.
What's the approximate height for that glass railing? It's just per code.
Well, I think for now we're carrying rail height, which is about 42 inches. I think further studies would need to be done. If wind mitigation or anything of that nature would want to happen, but what we've opted to do for now is maintain that rail height of 42 inches.
I see. So my other question is, so the renderings all look really neat and clean, but eventually you will have all those exterior exhaust vents. So I assume they will be painted the same color like the adjacent siding?
Yeah, that's true. Very similar to the Village at Totem Lake project we have under construction. If you go and see that project, you'll see that every vent hood is painted to match the adjacent material, so that way it gets blended into the facade.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So my last question is, along the sidewalk on 120th and also Slater Avenue, are there deep grade change slopes along the sidewalks? The images all show pretty flat.
Well, yep. Along Slater, there's a The stoops are a few feet higher. The units are a few feet higher than the street. There's a slight slope, so that the idea is to have the landscape present itself to the street. So the idea is it will slope from the sidewalk up to the unit. But there's also, if you zoom in, there are steps, two or three steps per unit, stepping down from that to the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. If you look along 120th, there's a slope along the street. It's seven. It flattens out in some areas, and in some areas it's a lot steeper. And so that there's some terracing that happens. That's how, like, for instance, on the steps, these steps here that Connor just pointed out, those would terrace up and then it'd basically vanish into the slope as the street and the sidewalk come up against it. Same thing at the corner. There's a accessibility if you go in from the left-hand side where the bench is over to the corner there where it says J. Kind of the middle of the sheet. You come in here, you have accessible access down here, but then there's some steps to pick up the difference of grade. So there's some devices we're using, whether it's the meandering planter, our depths, our transition steps, our seat walls. So we're trying to make it so it's not a noticeable change, but it's something that it taking advantage of the grade differences. There are some differences though.
I see, that can be quite challenging. And then lastly, I'm just curious, in the previous meeting, we talked about the possibility to open the back north side of the building, that pathway. I'm just curious, is the reading that not feasible?
It's a hard to secure area. And so the idea is we wanted to have the pedestrian spaces come down to where it says on the north side where it has E called out. That's a gate at that location. Mm-hmm. So up to that point and then over where it says E on the other side, that's all public. But then between is access for maintenance as well as emergency access. There's utility easement here. So we're limited on what we can do here as far as we'd love to be able to put trees in here, but we're limited by the easements. As far as the, I believe because this is, it's a harder area you don't have eyes on it like you do the other frontages. It's something that's a little more difficult to secure and keep it safe. And that's what the rationale for closing it off on both sides. I'm not sure if Sean, if you wanted to expand upon that.
No, Jim, I think you did a good job. I think it's we've connected at the two locations at the southwest corner that you pointed out, and then up towards the north end, connecting to actually an existing path. But the area in between, as Jim mentioned, there's security concerns. It's more of a utility type space, and we just don't think it really makes for a good pedestrian area.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Carlos, I'm reading by the order of the rectangles I see on my screen.
Hi, everyone. I have one question. What is the main design intent with the general landscaping in regards to the tree selection or in regards to the selection of tree species along Slater Avenue? I noticed that there are a couple of Douglas fir trees kind of like at the main corner or the intersection of 120 and Slater. And just wondering, I know that the Douglas fir is an evergreen tree. I would have assumed that evergreens would be placed next to the residential areas in order to provide some sort of privacy, also to kind of like give an idea or a sense of being in the forest or something similar and just placing more deciduous trees along the commercial or retail areas?
Well, along the 120th, we have the maple and the strawberry tree, which is more transparent. And the idea there was having it more natural and more native appearing. Whereas on Slater, we had the trees were more of a regular marching form, kind of working with the idea of the railroad track. However, as far as the Doug firs, there are Doug firs right across the street and two other corners. And so the idea is that basically creates a triangle for that corner. You have it in multiple locations, and so it ties that corner into the rest of the neighborhood. So that we wanted to carry the tree that we have across the street over to this quarter and have it all tie in. We have the western cedar as the residential frontage along the stoops, and a deciduous tree, the golden rain tree, for the street tree. But the idea for the Doug fir was because it really ties into the neighborhood, it's what's existing out there in the adjacent areas.
Right, kind of like to mimic the other corners of the street. Okay, thank you. Another question is, so the package that the board received, page 37 and 38, there are a couple of finishes that might be, that the tag might be incorrect. I just wanna double check with the applicant and make sure that the colors specified are the ones depicted in the renderings. So page 37, it says a cementitious smooth panel charcoal in the blue section. Is that correct? Right in the middle of the building?
Yeah, so the intent there, Carlos, was to essentially use that darker tone, the charcoal color. I think that actually is on all three buildings. So we use that as a way to visually separate, you know, larger elements from other elements. And so this becomes more of a background material, so to speak, and further enhances, you know, differentiation between materials.
Okay, it's just a page, the next page 38, it has a note that says cementitious smooth panel blue, although in my computer it looks a little bit grayish. So.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. And mine, it looks a little yellow. but I think what we wanted to do here, this is for building A, although they do look, you know, in the grayer tone, the idea was, we're calling them blue, but, you know, the idea is to do some sort of it's more of a muted tone blue. So like a slate, you know, like a slate blue or like a light slate blue that doesn't overpower. It's not too saturated a color. So we want to really create a palette that's more in the muted tones, but you still pick up the different, you know, varieties between each of the three buildings.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Also, in regards to the perforated panels, they are being shown kind of like brownish. Is that the mesh that you are showing in the material board?
So first of all, yes, you're right. The intent is for that screen to have a warmer finish to it. So it's more of a, let's call it a copper rust or a rusted color, you know, oxidized color finish. It's not going to be oxidized, but, you know, the intent is to have that same look and feel, and also tie it to the southern elevation with 120th. And then in regards to the actual physical sample, I believe what we included is that, you know, wire screen material, similarly to what was used in Totem, And then, you know, we would play around with that finish, the overall final finish of that screen, as well as the sort of the articulation of how we're placing these different screening elements as it travels along those elevations.
Understood. And
I think, the sample provided, Colin, if we can go to the materials board, I think you were alluding to, I think the sample provided on the materials board is not the color that's proposed.
It's not, yeah.
And that's correct, yeah.
Yeah.
That's showing more the style of mesh, mm-hmm. but the renderings really represent the tonality that we want to give those.
Exactly.
Okay, and behind those panels, the horizontal elements that are showing white, is it that going to be exposed concrete or cementitious panels?
That's correct, Carlos. So we have it's the crash wall for parking, right? So that would be either concrete or CMU block, most likely concrete for those elements.
And the finish is going to be exposed, right? You guys are not going to paint or
natural,
providing.
Yeah.
Natural correct. Finish.
Like a natural.
Company. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's all for now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Carlos. Tim, you're next.
Okay, I've got a few questions. The public plaza between building A and building B, the west side of that public plaza is the corner of it is the upper floor commercial space. Then it looks like the elevator vestibule, entry into the parking garage behind, and then just a blank wall. Then the east side is labeled as the amenity space. I assume that's not amenity space for the public. Is that correct?
That's correct. That would be its amenity for the residential building.
And is that a workout space, gym? I mean, what kind of, I mean, if I'm there public at one of the movable vending kiosks and I sit down in a chair, what's going on behind me in that amenity space?
Yeah, the programming of those spaces, is Jason on that could speak to that, or Sean, that they're being worked through as well right now.
Okay, this is the required public space, and it's very, it's bigger than is required, obviously, which is nice, but I'm just kind of wanting to make sure that the public feels, yes, I can go in here and there's no gates, there's nothing in the way.
Yeah, this
in there. Obviously, the commercial space to the west, that commercial space just reeks of coffee shop, quick, you know, something. Fast, I assume, although is it a large enough retail space that it's going to be one tenant, or do we see it entering only from the courtyard and not from 120th to that space?
Hi, Tim. This is Jason Martin. I'd like to address some of your questions here regarding the commercial component as well as the adjacencies to the plaza, specifically with the ground floor program of building B. We are still in the process of laying out what will be on that specific corner. We will not have a fitness facility on that particular area. There will be one within the building, but the uses contemplated that would be flanking this plaza would be more in the form of our residential lobby area and welcoming for future residents, as well as internal seating for residents to pick up mail or grab a coffee or potentially find a space to work remotely. And then in terms of the commercial component, we are uncertain as to whether or not this will ultimately be a single tenant or multiple tenant due to today's events in the marketplace, but we're trying to design it with as much flexibility to appeal to either of those scenarios.
Okay, and the overhead protection canopy extends, it looks like, back to the commercial space on the west and over the lobby door entrance, and then a little bit on the east side, correct? Mostly just at doorway openings, is that right?
That's correct. Returning into the main corners and then over other door entries.
Okay. I guess where I'm going with it is I just want to make sure the public feels that this is a public space, even though it's going to be pretty awkward when the doors open from the amenity side on the tenants. The public is going to be confused as to whether or not this is for me to go in and get out of the rain or not. So I welcome clarification on that eventually. Next question is the Slater Avenue sidewalk. There's some of the images, I think it's maybe page 19, that lower left image, or 17, let's see, which one was it? It's the rendering. Yeah, that lower left. So I know it's a very generous wide, you know, distance from curb face to building, and there's two sets of trees, but I guess I'm really confused. This looks like an enormous distance between the trees, and are those the street trees or are those the cedars that are depicted there?
No, those are the cedars. Those are there'd be cedars along the side there.
Okay. And then so right out at the in the tree wells near the curb would be where those golden rains would be. Is that correct?
That's correct. And there would be 30 feet on center. Yeah.
Okay. And then kind of getting back to my question about canopies, essentially the canopies, because they're connected to the buildings, they provide only protection when you're at the residential stoops. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So the public, like today, there's no leaves on the golden rain trees, and it's, you know, that drizzly rain all day long. There's no public weather protection unless you go up on somebody's front door stoop. Is that right?
Yeah, this Slater Avenue is not designated as a pedestrian-oriented street, where they do not require the overhead protection as they do along the other street, 120th.
Okay. So that was not part of the calculation for the required amount?
Correct.
Okay. Last question is kind of, I noticed the planting list includes, for those trees we're talking about, 2-inch caliper. That seems tiny for how quickly they're going to, do they grow really, really fast, the golden rain trees and those street trees, the maples on 120th?
The golden rain trees grow pretty quickly. Those are minimums.
Right.
So we'd be looking for most likely larger materials eventually as we get into it more. But the going through on Totem Lake Apartments, for instance, we had to do extensive searches through all the nurseries throughout Washington and Oregon and so forth to figure out what's available and what's commercially being grown right now. So there's that also impacts the plant palette as far as, you know, what we can do and what we can find.
Okay, staff, is there a way that we can sort of stipulate a larger caliper for, you know, for a more instantaneous, you know, presence, if you will, that matches the renderings versus, I mean, a 2-inch caliper may be 6 feet tall. That's tiny.
Yeah, so are we talking the street trees more than the
street trees, it's labeled for the big leaf maples, the strawberry, the golden rain, and the western red cedars. The cedars are even a smaller caliper in the size listed for the legend. So I'd like it to look like the renderings, not, you know, 5-6 years from now.
Yeah, I don't know. We can work obviously with, we have a code minimum, like right. They were stating. I don't know if we do have the ability to require additional width or larger caliber trees on those. John, do you have any insight on that? Or
okay, Shoshana, that's my only questions.
We will be looking for trees that are clear, that we have high enough branch structures that allow for clearance for pedestrians as well as cyclists. So that's when we kind of develop the working drawings that they'll be, we'll be looking at that as far as sizing goes, to make sure that there, we have plenty of canopy clearance.
Okay, Randall, kindly share your words of wisdom.
I'm not sure if I have too many words of wisdom, but thank you, Shoshana. And I would just like to thank the design team from the last presentation to this. I mean, there's some very dramatic, they seem to be minor insignificant changes or as you look at it, but you know, like at the drop off on 120th and in the way that you do articulate along Slater and this and the color, I like the color scheme that you're using and working with the difference in the window frames going from white to black. I don't think I've seen a black window yet, but haven't noticed it. Maybe that's because you don't notice them that well and that, but I'd like to just thank you for what you have done here from the last presentation. Refinements are really nice. And when you take the district, the Totem Lake district, and that you look at it as to, this is really, this project right here in this particular area on the south side of 124th and east of 124th, it sets a tone and it sets a standard. And I really like that. And I like what you're doing. So I don't have any questions as to why you're doing something or what you're doing. I just want to really just commend you for, I think you've done a very good job. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone have a follow-up question to the applicant or any question? And I guess not. So if not, John, do we have any public requests or comments?
Yeah, so it looks like we have 5 attendees. If you do want to speak, now's the chance. It looks like if you are interested, please raise your hand. We do call on you after you speak, if you could put in the chat your full name and email for the record, that would be great. And I would say at first, looks like first up would be a Robert.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you unmuting me there. So I just wanted to bring up a couple of things for comment. I noticed we talked about the balconies last meeting, and there was specifically a comment about whether or not those would have a drain, and it was commented that they would drain off the edge. And from the renderings that I've seen today, it doesn't look like, maybe I missed it somewhere in the conversation, but it doesn't look like that that's necessarily been addressed. And it looks like the balconies, at least in a number of locations, would still be draining onto the public. The second thing I noticed was, I'll just note the same thing as I said last time, which is just that with the open space requirement that we're provide publicly accessible areas, it just seems like, and I think to one of the gentleman's points, that the public areas, quote unquote, are kind of restricted to paver areas with maybe some seating, but no protection really from the weather. And I mean, we have a 3-month long summer, so that doesn't really do much for us Washingtonians to just have outside areas. And then the just the fact that the space being considered to be used for leasing, it just seems like all parts of this building are really being designed internally, and very little of this would be, as somebody that lives across the street, I can't see myself walking over there for anything at this point. So I just feel like it's
Sorry, my kids are in the background. But I guess I would just say, for lack of a better term, it just seems, feels a little bit like selfish design. It's sort of internally serving. It doesn't really do much for the anybody besides the pedestrian. That's just my thoughts. I also don't see necessarily where any changes have been made regarding the entries, which appear to be at the same location as the other entry. I don't see that that changed either. So I guess my concerns are the same as they were last week, or last month, rather. Thank you.
Okay, who is next?
So it looks like Sandy is next.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity to touch base and ask a couple questions. I had submitted a question about the lighting, and I'll get back to that in just a second. When you guys were talking about that access way along the back side of it, like a corridor access way, and that there were going to be gates on one side and a gate on the other, the reasoning behind having that not being public, can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yes, we hear you very well.
All right. The reasoning behind for not having that public makes total sense. I would hope that those gates are ones that, for safety reasons, that is somebody in that backspace for utility or drop-off reasons could push through and open and then have it secure and locked. So that no one's trapped in there. That's just a safety concern that's built into the design. And then back to the lighting, because I had sent a question in the comments, and I'm not sure it said it was going to go to the panelists, but I'm not sure if it went to all the people on the committee. I live over in the Slater Park condos. And we're already having, because, you know, people walking, you know, back and forth, we're already concerned about safety and security and making sure that there's plenty of lighting. That with the increased traffic and the intentional increased traffic of having a living space area where people can congregate outside and walk, you know, up and down that 120th, you know, Slater, and then 120th, and then possibly a commercial on 124th, that increased foot traffic, that there is an awful lot of lighting, because I would want to be able to see who's there, see who's there's already on Slater not very much lighting along the street. And people kind of jogging across the street or cutting across the street or, you know, making sure that there is a significant, adequate lighting for safety and for being able to see folks if they do jog across the street. Can anyone speak to that?
Yes, actually, we have pole lights along 120, the low pedestrian scale pole lights all along both 120th and Slater, approximately 60 feet on center, so every other tree grouping. So we have the trees at 30 feet on center, and we have the poles. That's also acts as a barrier between the curb and the sidewalk as well, so it's kind of a nice feature from that standpoint, and as much as you can to try to create a visual or a separation between the curb and the vehicular traffic, the pedestrian, the better. And so that's one of the things we wanted to do there, as well as light it up very well. And then we have lighting coming off of the building itself, as well as some pole lights going into the driveways.
Okay. I don't know how much experience you have going up 120th towards Slater and looking to your left, you know, for oncoming traffic. That I see a lot of plantings there. Will there be some attention paid to the trees there, so that when the trees grow, that you don't lose visibility for oncoming traffic?
Yes, we'll make sure that everything is clear of any sight line. There's because of the way the streets are oriented in those locations along this property frontage, it actually has an angle to it, so it actually allows you to see better because you're not at even a 90 degree, you're at a it's 120 degree or a little larger view there, so you can actually see oncoming traffic a little bit better. But
okay,
but we will look at
yeah, because that's a current issue. You know, when I'm using that street now, that it's really difficult to see that left oncoming traffic. So I wanted to see that wasn't going to remain an issue once you guys are done.
I think we'll definitely. Thank you for the comment. I really appreciate that, and we'll make sure that's addressed so that we will have sight lines on the drawings to make sure that all vehicular lines of sight are clear. However, okay, we'll pay particular attention to that because that makes a lot of sense.
Thanks.
Okay, more comments from the public?
Yeah, I'm not seeing any, Shoshana.
Okay.
I thought I would, regarding Robert's comments, so I can touch on like the open space requirements. So just kind of want to kind of go over what the code requires for that. So it was outlined in the staff memo, but I'll kind of touch base on that a little bit. So the code states that the development is required to provide publicly accessible spaces at the primary pedestrian frontage that extends the public realm while creating a transition between public and private spaces. These public spaces shall have no dimension less than 15 feet. The proposed development shall provide these spaces ranging from 1,500 to 2,000 square feet in size. So the applicant is proposing a larger space, proposing about a 3,800 square foot space on this project. Between buildings A and B, so there is going to while the whole space is not, I mean it's kind of that transition area again and again. The code just requires a 15 to 2,000 square foot. So they're providing a little larger public area there, so public accessible area. So, and I think the applicant could probably touch on his questions regarding the balconies that he had.
Go ahead. Oh yeah, I was just going to mention something we touched on early in the meeting here was regarding those at the balconies in question last month along 120th, and what we've done is we've actually pulled them back behind our setbacks, so that way they are not encroaching over the right of way. So what's currently there is going to be your typical canopy protection. And the balconies will not be over the right of way where the public would be walking. Sorry, Sean, if you were going to mention something else.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, and I was going to ask you to clarify if I misspoke. So I think it seemed like the question of the balconies and how they drained were really kind of focused on how they're going to impact people at the street level and whether they're going to, you know, they're going to drain on the sidewalk and on the people. So I think. Modifying these balconies seems to have taken that concern away.
Would any of you like to address Robert's question about the plaza activation for the public?
I think the plaza activation for the public, you know, it's something where we've tried to create a seating environment that people would want to go, maybe meet somebody there, have a cup of coffee. So you have seating opportunities. You know, we've explored the opportunities for maybe introducing some type of kiosk that maybe can offer some interesting things, whether it's a food or a drink kind of option. I think there's a lot of things. I think it's a it's a cool space. We have some ideas for it. So, you know, creating the space, you know, that's first thing is create the space. And then you gotta, you know, create some things that, that attract people and make people want to be there. So I think we have some ideas to be able to do that. But I think we've created a really cool space to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, introduce maybe some stuff like book sharing and other elements like that that could be more open for the public. So you can just grab a book and just sit down and read if you want.
Shoshana, it looks like Robert has a follow-up question.
Okay, would you like to speak, Robert?
Thank you. Yeah, I was just, maybe I was just taken aback by it because I didn't see, we talked about there being an overlay of the easement with the balcony shown, and I wasn't actually seeing that in any of the attachments. But if you look at page 12 of your attachment where you've got the kind of the over the corner of where Slater meets 120th, you'll see the balcony shown with people on it. It's sort of one of your cover sheets. It's page, well, it's just page 12 of one of your other attachments, but it definitely sure looks at least like the balconies are still hanging out over that pedestrian area. I wasn't concerned with whether they would hang out over the easement. I just felt like it looked like they were hanging out over the area that's being designated as the public area, but maybe that's not the case.
Yeah, the main concern from the first meeting was over the right-of-way, which is this dashed line here, is where we've remove the balconies and are push them back so that way they were not over the right of way. There are still the balconies that are over our own property that turn within this area, but over the right of way is where we've pulled the balconies back. If maybe that's what you were seeing.
Okay, but just to be clear, that you're saying that the balconies won't pursue it over the easement, but they will dump water on the pedestrians if they go onto your property. I just never mind. I think I've gotten what answer I'm going to get out of it. I think it just in general, it feels like this area is heavily residential. It's going to stay heavily residential. It'd be nice to see more of a mixed use feel going in, but it doesn't sound like that's what we're really going to get out of it. So I guess I don't have any further questions.
Okay, anyone else? Or are we moving forward to deliberation? Who would like to start?
Can I ask one more question, clarification? So the design team, are you still asking for a variance for the along the Slater Avenue? For the balconies projecting into the public right way?
There's, we are still looking for the variance, but they're not into the public right of way. These ones that are shown in red are just within our own 40-foot setback. So they're over our own building. Maybe I'll show it in a 3D view to make it so it could be seen easier. Let me get to, here we go. So it's these balconies along Slater, and they're over our own building. So there's nothing projecting over the public right of way. It's over our only 40-foot setback. So you can see the balcony.
Yeah, just to clarify, Ting. So actually you can kind of see it right there on the section drawing. So anything over 30 feet is required to be set back. And so that's it's set back 40 feet from that. Those balconies are over that 40 foot portion of the lower building.
There's still a variance request for projecting into the required setback.
Correct. Yeah, it's that 40 foot setback that they're asking for.
And the maximum is 3 foot 5 inches, right? Over.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, should we move forward to deliberation? Who would like to start? Randall, you spoke last before, so you'll be the first now.
Oh, I'll jump in. Thank you very much. As I said earlier, I like what they've done and some of the articulation, what they've done in the drop off on the 120th. And then when they've pulled the balconies back on 120th and then along Slater, it's over the additional setback over the top of their own structure. And so I look at that as not, as far as setting a precedent or anything of that sort, it's not necessarily precedent setting because it is over the top of their structure, not over the top of a right of way or of a public or the base setback of the building. So I like what they've done there. Public areas in this, it's in between each of the buildings and that. And if you notice and you look at the canopies on the drawing, there's the drawing that's up right now. You look at the public along 120, if you look at the canopies that run along, which I presume is the grade area, that sticks out from the building, it actually wraps around and goes back into the public area space as you go around the corner there. And so you've got pretty good coverage as you come down 120th. And so I like that. The articulation of the color palette on this size of project, I think they've taken a very considerate view of that, and it's not all the same color. For the modulation of two or three colors, it's got a variation that works, and there's some very subtle things about it that I think work extremely well with how they've worked the parapet and articulated that. And in that north face, they've actually articulated the face of the wall some and that type of thing. And so I think they've done an excellent job since their last presentation. And I just feel for a project this size, and how they've set it into the site and onto Slater and 120th, it works very well. I do recognize you cross the street to the east side of Slater and you've got what I think are two-story condos across the street, but you're going much higher on this side. It's just a density factor that in this zone that has been zoned into the zone. And so I think they have, with the street trees and the frontage, and then also the stoops to the individual units along the street, they've actually maintained a more residential type look along the street. It's more of a row house or a type look and that type of thing. And so I appreciate what they've done there with that. I don't think it's, yeah, there is a major difference going from the east side of the street to the west side of the street, but that's baked into the zoning of this area and that. And I think from ground level, from a pedestrian point of view, I think it works well. I like what they've done.
Okay, Adam.
I think Randall hit on a lot of points that I would bring up. I think one of the most helpful things of the way they formatted this presentation tonight was every page addressing every item with the previous and proposed, made it very easy to kind of understand. It's I wouldn't say I'm the smartest guy, but you definitely made it digestible for me. So I appreciate you guys doing that. You know, I think one of the biggest things, you know, I think this rendering actually captures it with, you know, I think from the beginning with these kind of train car or boxcar ideas, the different changes in the color that were done in the proposed variations, I think made a big difference for me. You know, even on the backside, you know, I pointed out earlier, you know, they kind of ate the loss of the rentable square footage in some of these units to really create those deep shadow lines and the building articulation. You know, I don't think they tried to pull one over on us on that. I think it was done the right way. You know, they made the building actually step in rather than just putting some Juliet balcony on or some kind of shadow line or different material. You know, I think they on the back there was thoughtful consideration to, you know, to doing an asymmetrical but nice looking facade. Rather than just mixing things up a little bit. So, you know, I'm pretty impressed with how fast they were able to make the changes from the last meeting. I felt like it was rather quick and drastic, to be honest. So I'm don't have much else to say, but I'm pretty happy with the changes, and I think they've responded to everything adequately.
Carlos.
Yes. So in regards to the overall design intent, I think that the variety of materials and the color slash tone and contrast of them plays really well with main volumes. Also, the concept of the train is kind of unique. Looking at the renderings, it seems that they capture the essence, and it actually communicates with the adjacent buildings. Another thing that I was looking at is the language of the canopies. I think that on 120 Avenue, you look at the renderings and there's a very strong presence of the canopies that catches your eye. And that same language is, I think it's properly carried throughout the other building B and building C. I don't foresee any issues with extending the balconies along Slater Avenue. I think that it actually kind of like helps keeping the same language. And overall, I think that the building it's answering all the questions that the board had in regards to different materials, more appealing or visual intense. Also kind of like the back portion of the building, having the perforated panels at the back, playing at different, different levels or different rhythms, I think kind of helps and brings more interest, even though that facade or that elevation is not going to be really visible from the other spaces, and it's going to be pretty much the upper portion of buildings. I think that the overall design meets its purpose, and I don't have any other comments in regards to this presentation.
Thank you, Carlos. Tim?
I'll echo other board members' positive comments. I've got one little area that still gives me a little wee bit of heartburn. And Connor, if you can go to page, it's on part two of the attachments that we got. Part two, page either 55 or 66. I'm just going to walk around the building. There we go. So starting off at that southwest corner, building A, and I'm just going to scroll up on my iPad. So we get, and it's a very interesting, I just love a lot of the changes that have been made. We got rid of that weird battered wall at the back of the, as you walk down toward the parking garage. But as we walk to the east and we get to the corner, and lots of great changes have been made. I like the material changes, the colors, the textures. And we turn the corner on Slater, and I can live with the box cars. I get to page 60, if you can just go ahead and zoom up to page 60 or 71, the northernmost corner of building C, and even building C itself, that northern portion of it, still gives me a little bit of, are there opportunities here that we just didn't get? My screen kind of shows that mustard colored building at the far north end that's set back 40 feet with a really plain Jane, unbroken cornice line. It's just a parapet wall cap with minimal piece of coping on it. And it's pretty much mirrored by what happens on the first of the boxcars. There's no people on that deck animating it or doing anything. It's just a coping on a fairly minimal parapet wall there. And we get the northernmost end of that upper floor, it's not a townhouse, but that upper floor residential unit is just a blank wall with some reglets in it. And it kind of is mirrored by the north end of the next boxcar down where we get the trash loading area. You know, it's kind of like we really were doing great on 120th, and then we got kind of up to this corner, and it's just kind of like, well, okay, here's what's going to happen. So that's my only wishing that there was some more attention paid to this end of the building, because as you walk or drive southbound on Slater, as it makes its curve, this is the first thing you'll see for a lot of people, is that north end of that building. So anyway, I applaud the as Adam said, their turnaround time's been pretty amazing for some pretty substantial changes, quite honestly. So my hat's off to them on that.
Ting.
I didn't have any heartburn until Tim pointed out that northeast corner. Well, overall, I want to say thank you to the design team too for your effort putting this attachment three together, addressing most of the comments we had in previous meeting, and also putting the comparison before and then proposed. It's very easy for us to read, like Adam pointed out. I'm very pleased with the color and the materials composition. I really like how you have a minor color variation on the lower level, and then you have a larger scale contrast through texture on the upper level. I like that. And I also like your transition from a cooler color tone to warmer color tone from building A to B to C. I think that's very cool. And then your strategy to put to arrange black framed vinyl windows versus white framed vinyl windows. I think that's very smart. I know it costs a lot more to make the frames black, but I'm sure you know the trick to make the outside black, but the interior is still white. And then considering the variance request for those backlinks projecting to the additional setbacks, I think considering how generous the design team left those courtyard space as big as you can. And I know a lot of developers would reduce that space through the meetings. They still look pretty decent to me. And I like the extensive landscaping put in along the sidewalks. I think the public would benefit some extra from you guys. So for those reasons, I am supportive for that variance request. Overall, I think it's going to be a great project, and I'm very looking forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to say that, like my friends at the board, I think that for to achieve harmony in a project in that size and that shape is not easy, definitely not easy. And I think you've done a great job, especially since we're talking about something that did not exist there before, and it kind of setting the tone to the buildings that will come after. It also connects very well, I feel, to the Totem Lake neighborhood in general. It kind of responds to the cues that you can get from the neighborhood. I see that, I assume that my friends, you have answered everything about the overhead weather protection plan, and the building materials look really good. Also the facades, your response to the windows variations look sophisticated and let's call it cost effective as well. And entry drive areas and the trash area, they look good. They blended in the entire design. I'm sure that within time, the public plaza and the courtyards will get their character. We're kind of in uncertain times. We don't know what will happen in a few months or in a couple of years. And these things, I believe that there is enough space to create something. And I believe that this thing will be developed organically according to what happens in our everyday lives. It's kind of uncertain right now to say it will be this or that, just because life keep changing around us. But I think I appreciate the applicant generosity with the space and exploring, and the willingness to explore further options to make it nicer to the public. And I'm also happy about the lighting plan. And if anyone else would like to comment about the other things that we were needed to respond and we didn't, now is the time. Otherwise, I would advise that a motion of some sort needs to be done.
I'll jump in on the variance that I move that we approve the variance for the balconies along the Slater Street side of the facility as diagrammed and shown here, as fitting within the requirements of the variance procedure.
Okay, a motion to approve applicant request for variations.
Second.
Any object? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those oppose? Okay, it has been moved and second that we approve applicant's request for minor variations. Okay, so I believe that we need another motion to approve the project.
Despite my somewhat minor reluctance, I don't see any reason to have them come back again. So I would move for approval. And I don't think we have any conditions that were outstanding that we wanted further clarification on.
I'll
second that motion.
Okay, so it has been moved and seconded that we approve the applicant request. All those who...
Shoshana, I think for this, we need to do a roll call vote, please.
Okay, yep. So... please, let's roll call the motion.
Randall Brand.
Approval.
Carlos Castaneda.
Approval.
Ting Chen.
I approve.
Shoshana Cohen.
Approve.
Adam Green.
Approve.
And Tim Olson.
Approve.
Thanks.
Okay, so I think that we have a unanimous approve of the applicant's request. And well, this is it for the Slater mixed use project. And now we need to poll attendance for the next meeting. When is our next meeting? Let me look at my calendar.
So yeah, the next meeting is actually canceled. That's for February 15th due to the President's Day holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So the next regularly scheduled meeting will be March 1st.
Oh.
Currently there's nothing on the agenda and I'm not anticipating anything for that meeting, but if something does come up, we'll certainly let you guys know. But as of today, it looks like there is nothing on the agenda.
Okay, so right now we will be waiting to hear from you about the next date for the Design Review Board meeting, and obviously you will pull attendance for that.
Right.
Okay, so without any further issues, I think we need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, there's been a motion to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.